The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to one of our longest running shows here on the TKR radio station. This is called Dark Side of the Pooch. It's a total that was actually picked there. It was picked by Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. And we started the show, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that.
It was way before COVID, man. I think we started this in 18 or 19. I think we may have started in 18.
Well, I started the business in 19.
We started in 19.
Yeah, so
we started before COVID, 100%.
About almost 5 years. And of course, we just talk about all kinds of pet things. You run a wonderful institution out there, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital out there, and they do wonderful work. 208-0301, 208-0301, rossbridgevet.com. Of course, you can find them on their website. And of course, they're also found on Facebook as well as Twitter. And of course, you have your own Twitter. How many followers do you have in your Twitter account, by the way? Your follower with a name like Rab, I would think you'd probably have quite a bit of followers, right? No,
I don't really have any followers at all. I have lots of bots. I think I have like 90 something followers, but I'm a lurker on Twitter. I really like Twitter. I'm not on Facebook or Instagram. Twitter is X is the only social media that I do.
Yeah.
And I like it because there's a lot of personalities like yourself that are on there, and it's different from Facebook because it's more informative, and I can dial it to exactly what I want to see and hear.
Yes.
Whereas on Facebook, don't take offense, because I know there are people out there that love seeing pictures of all your kids, not your kids specifically. I'm talking about in generality, but that's just not, you know, I want news. I want sports. I want things that make me laugh. And, you know, we can save the family pictures for the family reunion.
There you go. I'm with you too. Facebook is more of a story. And it's obviously for older people who like to tell stories, which is fine. They do. It's true. Do you need to have 46 pictures of your last dinner party you had? Probably not. Twitter, you can get it. Twitter, or now known as X, you can get in and get out. Funny thing is ever since Elon Musk took it over, everyone's been talking about how it's just kind of fallen through the floor. It seems like more people are now on X than they've ever been on. I don't know if it's because he changed the name to X and they feel like, okay, it's brand new. Sometimes people like to get on things that are brand new, you know? And maybe that's
the frustration. Yeah, the frustration I have with X right now, and I noticed this when Musk took over, is there's two tabs. There's like following, and then there's like for you.
Yeah.
And so if I click on, I don't like the for you, because there are people on there that it will throw stuff up, and I just have no interest in what they say.
Yeah.
I'm not following them. I don't care about them. I don't want to know what they're doing.
Totally agree with you. Yeah.
But if I go to following, there are so many people I follow that I never see on my feed. They're only on the for you.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating for me because I know why they do that. It's so they'll expose you to things and people that you're not currently following in the hopes that you will follow them. Well, I don't want to be force fed anything.
Yeah.
I want everything to like happen, you know, organically. And so that, to me, is a big frustration with X.
Yeah, and I get notifications all the time from people that I don't really care about. I don't know why I get notifications from these people. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm sure it's something in my settings that's turned on from a particular individual. But, you know, while I've got like over 13,000 followers, I don't know how many people I actually follow. I don't want to know what's going on with the, because most people, you know, I like to post like once a day. That's plenty. Sometimes I won't post. I mean, I post a bunch of shows and stuff like that I do here on Tony Curry Radio. But as far as in personal life right now, I'm just like, unless it's business stuff. I mean, I'm not, you know, my daughter just turned 12 and, you know, some people want to post pictures of their 12-year-old for their birthday party. That's fine. I just don't get it. I'm just at a point now in my life. And I guess Facebook's more for that kind of stuff. You know, when people are posting, my wife of 46 years, you know, and I don't know what I'd do without you, honey. The best thing that ever happened to me. And they're posting it on Facebook. And I'm like, It's just BS to me. It's like what, and you know, Dr. Rab Stewart's like that. Dr. Claypo. He posts stuff like that, you know, of him and his wife walking down the beach. It's been, you know, and he posts these, and I'm just like, why? I don't
tell it to your wife.
Tell
don't
it,
tell me.
Exactly. And he's like, well, I want people, you know, to know that, you know, and I said, Facebook was made to keep in touch with family members and friends. You know, I don't need 3,000 people I don't know commenting on the picture of my 12-year-old. I don't need that. You know, and
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No,
but we had, you know, basically what I use our Facebook work account for right now is to tell people how full our doggy daycare is.
Mm-hmm.
But I will also, this has a point, so just bear with me.
Yeah.
I will also use it as a platform for things like Easter and Christmas to, you know, look, it's my Facebook page. I can do whatever I want with it.
Sure.
But I will say Merry Christmas, you know, our Savior's born, stuff like that for Easter.
Too. Yeah.
You know, I will say, you know, He is risen. You know, we serve a risen Lord, all that stuff. It's America. I can do whatever I want. I never go back and look at the comments.
No, ever. I don't either. And you know, they're getting, and there's a million of comments. God bless you. You know, wonderful work. Yeah, but it's like you almost feel sometimes I'll just go through and I'll like every comment that's on there because I don't want to be rude. It's kind of like someone saying, that's very nice of you to say that, Dr. Rab, and you're rude if you don't comment back to them, right? So if we're having a conversation, you're texting me and I don't comment back to you, then I'm being rude to you. So if you're commenting back to me, God bless you and your daughter, Tony. You're a wonderful father. And I don't comment back to them. I'm basically saying, I don't care what you've got to say. So then I get a comment. Thank you very much. I do the best I can. Or I like their post. But these are for people that got 3-4 hours a day to do this thing. I'm telling you, I mean, people that get on Facebook, they will tell you it's 3-4 hours a day that they're on this platform. And then everyone's talking about not having enough time in life. The average user on Facebook's on there like 3-4 hours a day. I just don't have time. I don't care. I just don't care. I don't care. Every time I go through my timeline, I'll see stuff from, you know, friends, you know, business associates, you know, I've got to follow business associates, you know, and I got to like some of their posts. And I do that on LinkedIn and stuff like that for some of my bigger clients. But I really don't care. I really don't care that your son just won the baseball game on Saturday night. I'm sorry. I love you and I love your family and I know him, but I could care less that he got the game winning hit on Saturday night. You know, for some, I just like, does that make me selfish? Does that mean
it makes you a normal person.
We're taught in our entire lives to never tell everyone to look at me, look at me, look at me. We're always, you know, unless you're a class clown, unless you're on stage somewhere. And social media is all about look at me, look at me, look at me, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing, look where I'm going on vacation, look who I'm married to, look what I think about this, this is how I feel about my politics. It's all look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And I just think it's so selfish and I just think it's so self-serving and I could give a rat's ass what you care about things. I really don't. Unless I get out there and say, I'm having difficulty here. I know people do that on Facebook as well. You know, I've got an interesting question I want to throw at you. Then good luck. I mean, you throw out a question on Facebook, you're going to be up for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. And you know, the main reason that I don't do a lot, like I do a lot of lurking on X. Mm-hmm. I don't throw a lot of original content out there at all. I will sometimes reply to people. But the reason I don't go back and look at the comments is because it is unbelievable. The posts that we make, the few posts we make a year, there will be a comment in those comments that is just so negative and derogatory.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, dude, all I did was post about Christmas. Yeah. All I did was post about Easter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how can you take that and twist it and make something negative? Like, it's just, you know, but you can't get beat up over stuff like that. But that's why I don't even go back and look at the comments.
Yeah.
I don't even go back and look.
No, there's people out there, I think, that their whole life is just they just go run to businesses or whatever and just like to poo-poo on people's things. And again, sometimes it depends on what kind of mood you're in too, because when you're not, you don't know where the inflection rate is on someone's writing back. Sometimes, you know, they think they're being funny, but it comes across as rude, and you don't know them well enough to think that it's not being funny. And you're kind of like, who the hell are you? You know what I mean? And it's like, hey, did you get my message? And I'm like, oh, that was you. And you're like, oh, yeah. And it, you know, that, and you know, you're here doing a radio show and you own a business. And so a lot of people know you that you don't know them. Your customer base, they know you, and they probably tell people that you're their best friend because you're cool and you're, you know, a veterinarian, you're a smart guy. Oh, I got a veterinarian friend of mine, Dr. Rapp Stewart, been going to him for years, and they think they know you, and you don't have any idea who they are. But
I bet that's huge. I bet that happens to you all the time you have your life you have had your life out there for decades. And so I bet it's a very strange situation because your listeners know so much about you. They think that you're a part of their family. You don't know anything about them.
Absolutely.
And I bet that's a very hard thing.
And it's a good thing. I mean, cause if they feel that close to me, then I'm doing something right. But I mean, I share a lot of things about my life, and I've always shared things. I've been very transparent about everything in my life, everything from my addiction to my family life, to my divorce, to my kids. And you know, it's amazing. People walk up to me and go, hey, how's Santo doing? And I'm like, I don't know who this person is. And I'm like, why are you asking about my 18? You know, why are you asking about my son? Well, it's because I've had him on the radio a million times, and I've talked to him, and you know, and I used to have my father call in the show. And it is what it is, but it's really interesting. All right. Got some email questions. info@tonycurryradio.net. We'll get into those in just a few minutes. I always ask you if you had anything interesting happen at the office at Rossburg Animal Hospital. And you did say you had a couple interesting things going on. You'd like to share what you got.
Yesterday we had an interesting case. It was referred to us by another practice for an ultrasound. They thought that they saw something on the x-ray in the abdomen that looked a little bit strange. And I want to use this to let people know how interesting disease processes are, and how you can have one thing that you think is there, but ends up being something totally different. So for example, this dog comes in, it's a golden retriever. It's about 8 or 9 years old. And its whole body is yellow. Its gums are yellow. You know, the gums are supposed to be pink. Okay. But the gums are yellow. The whites of the eyes are yellow. If you look at the skin close enough, it's yellow. And so jaundice, it's also known as icterus.
Yeah.
And it is, it can be due to liver disease, either liver failure, liver cancer, age-related changes to the liver, liver no longer working anymore. But it can also be due to the blood being broken down in the body. So if you have an autoimmune disease where your immune system is attacking your red blood cells, and the way that will work is that just like any pathogen in your body, a bacteria or a virus or something, your immune system is going to tag that with something, and then your body's going to destroy it. But sometimes the body gets out of whack and it will tag a healthy red blood cell, and the immune system will destroy that red blood cell. So some of that hemolysis, or the breaking down of the red blood cells, can cause the same changes that you would see with liver disease. So the tests that we're waiting for on this dog are still pending. We saw it yesterday and we got several tests that we're waiting on, but it's just really interesting. And I think important for everyone to understand that, we're waiting on test results to figure out if the liver is truly diseased, or if the immune system is diseased, or the blood is diseased. And as an outsider, you kind of step back and you think, well, those are three very different body systems. Three serious things. And they all can mimic each other.
Yeah.
You know, I guess when I went through school, the more I realized how gray everything was. You know, we expect our doctors, and we any healthcare provider that we use, and I'm guilty of this too, I expect you to know the answers, know what's wrong with me, know how to fix me. But when you have this same kind of stuff that happens in human medicine, it all looks the same, but it could be caused by three very different body systems.
Do you have a lot of house moments at your practice? I mean, you're really smart at what you do, and I would assume that, you know, the first thing, I mean, hell, I even said yellow jaundice, only because I had a friend of mine had yellow jaundice, and he was an alcoholic, and he had liver issues, and it went away, or it was treated, but I knew it was serious. But I mean, do you have, I say house moments, you know, the whole premise of that show was they didn't know what in the world a particular disease or something was. The whole show was spent trying to figure out what this thing was. How often are you stumped?
Not often. And that's for a couple of reasons. It's not because I have all the answers, mm-hmm. but it's because I have really good resources that I can, if I don't know the answer, I have internal medicine people that we can talk to. We have a really good referral network of people, whether it's neurology or orthopedics, internal medicine. You know, we have ways where if we get stumped, we can talk to people that can help us.
Yeah.
So it usually winds up either we can get an answer, we can get a definitive answer, or we use a kind of a broad spectrum treatment regiment, and the pet just gets better. And honestly, we're not really sure what it was to begin with, but we know we fixed it.
There you go. Okay.
Or we can, you know, so in our field, sometimes people, the pet either runs out of time or the owner runs out of finances and they don't want to take the next step. So yeah. Sometimes we don't get an answer.
Yeah. Keep us updated on that. I'd be curious to know what the deal is, and you'll get some test results back later today.
Yeah, should get some stuff back today.
Look forward to hearing it. Dr. Rapp, Stuart Rosberg, Animal Hospital, they do wonderful work. Of course, boarding for the holidays is always big, but certainly for summer vacations, call them 208-0301, rosbergvet.com on their website. You can check them out as well. And of course, you can hear the show at least 5 days a week. And wherever you get your favorite podcast, we're available on every major industry and right here on our YouTube channel. Good stuff. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. By the way, it's brought to you by Ed's Pet World. My chinchilla. It's been amazing. I've been getting my chinchilla. This is, you know, usually when you get rodents, you hold them for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, and then you just don't want to get them out again. And then maybe you get them out like every once in a month, you know, or maybe once in a year, you know, a neighbor will come over and you're like, oh, you want to get the chinchilla out? So I'm dedicating myself to getting this animal because I've seen enough chinchilla videos that they're really cool and you can domesticate them. And I want this thing to not be one of those skittish things that just runs. I want to be able to get it out and it actually jumps up on my chest and falls asleep. So we have gotten it out of the cage every day. And by the way, I didn't realize, and I think you and I had this discussion, that the damn thing's going to get 14, 15 inches long. It's a pretty big animal. And it's already about 6-7 inches long. So I put it in the bathtub because the sides of the bathtub are slippery, and I'll sit in the, I got one of those jet tubs. I'll sit in the jet tub with it and just sit there and play with it, for like a half an hour, 45 minutes every day. And it's a blast, and it'll cry out my shoulders. And you know, I just want it to get used to me, you know, and it's a nocturnal animal. Anyway, it's just one of the coolest things I ever had. And of course, Ed's Pet World, that's what they do. Exotic pets. They got spiders and they got tarantulas and they got bearded dragons. They got everything down there. It's unbelievable. Ed's Pet World, 50 years in the making down there in beautiful Homewood. Check out Angie, the entire crew. They are closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, open the rest of the week. And then of course, the Sasquatch Toys and Comics, his brand new store. Seth opened the store back in October. If you've got toys, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, comics, you name it, you want to sell your stuff, buy, sell, or trade, check them out. They do wonderful work down there too. It's Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Todd said he heard us talking about snake bites a couple of weeks ago. He said, what about dogs and spider bites? How often is that prevalent? And has Dr. Rab ever had a spider bite on an animal? I know brown recluse spiders can be something that are pretty scary to humans. What about dogs or cats?
I have never had a confirmed spider bite.
Wow. Okay.
Never. Because with snakes, you can sometimes, and even this is rare, an owner will see the snake, see the dog get bitten by the snake, but that doesn't happen often. But also, a lot of times with snake bites, if you look close enough and you see the pet early enough, you can see those two little fang marks. Yep. I mean, it's kind of unmistakable.
It's pretty cool.
It's cool, yep. You know, and it depends on the size of the snake, how far apart those bites are, obviously, or fang marks. The wider the space between the fang marks, the bigger the snake. But with insect bites, there's no definitive markings
Yeah.
You know, and dogs and cats get into so many things and they can get injured and have so like a trauma by so many different things. You'll think, well, is that an insect bite or a sting or, you know, did it roll over on a stick and mm-hmm. puncture itself?
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff looks very similar. You know, and I guess if you fast forward a few days, if they're bitten by a very poisonous spider, then maybe you can get some other symptoms develop. But, you know, having like a respiratory distress or a neurologic distress because of a spider bite would be pretty rare. But sometimes you will, like a snake bite if it is an insect bite, if it's bad enough, sometimes you'll get like severe bruising of the skin around the bite. Mm. The skin may die. So, but without number one, seeing it happen and seeing a pet being bitten by a spider, I think would be super rare. So without seeing that, it's hard to know because there's no real defining characteristics of that bite.
If you did see your dog get bitten by a brown recluse, and I would say that only because they're in dark, grimy places and brown recluse spiders are quite large or can be quite large. Most of the people, I've got two friends of mine that were bitten by a brown recluse. They knew they were bitten by a brown recluse spider and they went straight to the hospital. They still lost part of their limbs. Do animals or do dogs, are they affected in the same way as human beings are by if you know it's a brown recluse, how would you treat that?
It's going to be similar.
Yeah.
First of all, there's a lot of local tissue damage, and that's why you said people are, you know, get amputated. Mm-hmm. Because that's what spider venom does.
Yeah.
You know, it's a way to paralyze and begin to digest the food before they even eat it. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, that toxin, wherever it's injected, is breaking down that tissue. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
So you're gonna see a lot of that. Mainly it's gonna be local tissue damage. But you know, again, like we talked about, there's so many things that can cause that. I mean, even just another animal bite could cause that.
My son Xavier has horrible allergies and he does every single year. And one of the reasons he does is because he loves to hang out with his Australian Shepherd dog. He loves to give my dog Zerberts. He'll sit there and just put his mouth on his back and just blow into it. And then it drives the dog crazy. And then the dog will lick him in the face. And I said, you're getting all these allergies, all these pollens and stuff. Cause when the dog goes out, he's rubbing up against trees and stuff like that. And he's getting pollen on him. And he's basically, he's got yellow stuff all over, just like you do the hood of the car, right in the driveway. So interesting question. So my daughter and my son are out in the backyard the other day and they were playing in this, they were trying to get this ball in the backyard. And I said, do not go to the right hand side. It is full of poison ivy. I've got poison ivy. I got poison ivy poisoning. I get it every single year. I could stay inside 24 hours a day and it's like it comes from the inside out. I'm going to get it every year. I have to get shots every year for poison ivy. And they're like, and so my son asked a very interesting question. Can I get poison ivy from my dog? And I said, yeah. I said, and he goes, how? And I said, well, if it rubs up against a highly oily plant and then it brings it into the house and then you touch that area of the skin, I would think that you'd be able to get poison ivy. True.
Yeah, that's true. The oils can be transferred through animals.
Then the next question was, why don't dogs get poison ivy?
Because they don't. Well, the hair keeps them from getting it most of the time.
Because the oil never touches the skin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their coat is in such a way where they don't get it.
Yeah.
So that's I would say that's their main defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. But you know, the other thing is, and truly I don't 100%, I don't know, but even on non-haired skin, you know, this is where I get a little bit fuzzy, but I wonder if they don't have something naturally on like a skin barrier that helps prevent them from getting it, because in, you know, 15 years of doing this, I've never seen the classic kind of pustules that we mm-hmm. get from yep. poison ivy, and poison oak. I've never seen that on a dog or a cat.
And I mean, even a hairless animal, you would probably not mm-hmm. see that.
And if you think about it, there's tons of animals that don't have a lot of hair on their belly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't have any hair on the bottom of their feet,
mm-hmm.
but what they do have are those, you know, hard pads. And yeah. I would imagine that those have a really good barrier to prevent those oils from being absorbed in the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also bet that there's some kind of defense mechanism, whether it be the like the sebaceous, the oil glands on the skin that secrete that, or just the skin itself, the way that the junctions work between the skin cells that keep that oil from penetrating the skin.
He is the boss, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, rossbridgevet.com. And of course, you can find him on Twitter or X, known as also Facebook. And of course, 2080301. Or just go out and see him at their fantastic store out there in Rossbridge. I take all my animals out there. I will follow the man anywhere he goes. He does fantastic work and he's the best of the best. I actually learned something a little bit last time I brought Rainer in. Because we were wondering if he had some type of urinary tract infection or something like that. And I had noticed that there was some moisture underneath my seat. And I was talking to one of your handlers and I said, did he just urinate? Because it was enough that you could see the moisture on your floor. And she said, no, he's sweating. And I knew that animals didn't sweat. I knew they panted. I was not aware that the it comes through the pads on their feet. And now I've noticed the last couple of days, and it's gotten a little warmer, but it's not hot, that he is laying by the front door on the hardwood floor, which is obviously much more comfortable than carpet if he's been outside a little bit. But he's leaving wet marks on the floor through his pads. Is that normal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's how they distribute heat. Yeah.
Okay. I never noticed. And because the first thing you do is you see, you know, if they've been outside, it's rained, and then you want to wipe their feet. But I've never thought to wipe my dog's feet after he sweats.
If a dog gets a hyperthermia, so if they get too hot from being outside,
yeah,
we're not talking about fevers. But you know, we're talking about overheating outside. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we'll spray the bottom of their feet with alcohol because alcohol evaporates quickly and that evaporative cooling over those pads will help bring their temperature down even
faster. There you go. How about that? Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Some mutt mail here. I've got Chancey, I guess her name is Cardinals. Her name is Chancey. She said that she's got a blue healer. My daughter's got a blue healer. And noticed a knot on, she actually sent a picture, a knot right below the whisker line on the left-hand side of the dog. It almost looks like a goiter. And it's kind of a big bump. It's maybe the size of a marble. She said it doesn't seem to be painful at the touch, but obviously the animal doesn't want to be touched there because it's in the middle of the face and she doesn't know what it is. What do you think that could be?
Well, it's a common place to get dermatitis around or folliculitis around those whiskers and the skin there. So it could be that, or it could be a growth. It could be a benign growth. Could be, and most skin growths are benign in dogs, but there are especially if they're superficial. Mm-hmm. But there are some that are a little more aggressive. But those are the most likely things that it is, either a little inflammatory or infectious skin condition.
Okay. Tommy Mountbrook, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, wants to know when is the shedding season for dogs? This is something I've been dealing with. I think we all have. We had dogs shedding growing up. We had mutts, and we didn't. This is when we just used to let dogs out, and we didn't take them to veterinarians. We just didn't do that. Now, of course, we care a lot more about our pets, and I love my animals. I have noticed that my dog, it seems like he sheds a lot more in the wintertime, and I'm only assuming that he's growing more hair because it's wintertime, and it's usually around his haunches, and I have noticed that when I go get him cut, it helps his shedding dramatically. I mean, it's amazing how much hair he loses when I don't get him cut down. I have to have him cut down, or else I'll have hair all over the house. But is there a shedding season? Is there a reason why dogs shed more during one part of the season than another season? And is it have anything to do with their age?
It does not have to do with their age, and it doesn't really have anything to do with the weather.
Okay.
It is all hair in dogs has a growth phase, it has an arrest phase, and it has a fallout phase. And that is naturally occurring in the body. It depends on the dog's hair follicle cycle as to when all that happens. But you can see certain times of the year where they're losing a bunch of hair.
Yeah.
And that's just because the phases of that hair cycle, at that point, they're in the fallout phase. But it's something that has to happen. It's naturally occurring. And there's really no, it depends on the pet as to when it happens.
Does it actually help to, and I know your answer is going to be, it's going to be yes, but to brush your dog. My dog hates being brushed. Some dogs like being brushed, but some of them like to snip at you when you're brushing them. With my dog, it seems like I could brush him nonstop for 24 hours and the hair is going to keep coming out. Maybe it's the point where he started getting uncomfortable. Maybe it's starting to hurt because I've been brushing him so long. Does brushing work?
Yeah. Okay. It's brushing. Brushing is helpful. It's what you want to do.
Okay.
Because it helps just strip out the hair that doesn't need to be there anymore. Yeah.
Something we did, this past weekend, and then we'll let you go, that, we'll never try again. We tried to brush Rainer's teeth. And by the way, my daughter did it with my electric toothbrush, which ain't cool because I don't have any replacements. And I'm like, I heard the toothbrush. And so first of all, whenever you hear your 11-year-old daughter with a toothbrush or electric toothbrush, you know, they're up to no good because they're not using them on their teeth. They're not brushing. I knew there's no way my daughter was brushing her teeth without being asked. So I was like, okay, what is she doing with my toothbrush? And I walked in there and she was actually brushing my dog's teeth. First of all, he didn't like that part. Now, if he did a handheld, maybe it'd been okay, but she noticed he had a little brown mark on one of his lower canine jobbers and she was trying to brush it off. And she said his breath started to stink. And I said, you know, this is something that a lot of people are now doing, that it's really important because, you know, you get a lot of diseases and stuff through your gum line. Well, Stacy wants to know, should we be brushing our cat's teeth?
Yes. Do I expect people to do that?
How do you do that? Tranquilizer?
I don't expect people to do that. It is best to do that. Even in dogs, like, you know, it's difficult, especially in cats. If you can train them to do it when they're really young, then that's going to be your best bet. But their teeth are just like ours. And if you don't brush them effectively or often enough, you might as well not do it at all.
Yeah.
They need to be brushed at least every other day, and you need to get all surfaces of the teeth. You need to use specific pet toothpaste. You can't use human toothpaste because it'll make them sick.
Okay. That's good to know.
If you do that, then it will reduce the number of professional cleanings that they need to have from us, which all pets need to have professional dental cleanings at least yearly. In most cases, some can get away with maybe every other year, or maybe once every 18 months or something. But it is very challenging. Yeah. And if you don't start early, when they're young, it's going to be pretty ineffective, most likely, because they're not going to tolerate it.
What I mean, I know sweets aren't good for our teeth. We get tartar stuff on there, and we're supposed to, you know, brush after every meal. What affects a dog's or a cat's teeth? That obviously they're not eating sweets like a human being. Is there any other type of food? Do dog treats bring on tooth decay?
Canned food has been known to stick to the teeth a little more than dry food.
Yeah.
But I think it's not so much things that we do that make the teeth bad. It's that we don't do the things that we need to do to keep the teeth healthy. And yeah, I think we've talked about on the show before that keeping up with animals' dental health is, of course, it's gaining traction, but there is a lot of, I think, resistance because people don't understand why we can't do it with the pet awake. I mean, I think some people do, but other people, they don't see how, well, I don't have to be anesthetized to have my teeth cleaned. Why does my pet? Well, because it's an animal. Mm-hmm. And also people are a little bit averse to anesthesia. I think if you ask anyone who has had a pet and who has taken pretty good care of their pet, they're either going to say, oh, well, I had this one dog and had this terrible reaction when it was under anesthesia. Yeah. Or they're going to say, I had this family member or friend that had a terrible reaction and maybe even the pet died. Which is awful. And if we had a crystal ball, of course we wouldn't do an elective procedure on a pet that died under anesthesia, but the chances of a pet dying under anesthesia is so small. And the chances of a pet having a poor quality of life because of advanced dental disease is really high.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to take that into account when you're trying to decide if you want to, you know, keep your pet's mouth healthy.
Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Ed's Pet World, Exotic Pets. They've been in business for 50 years down there in Homewood. I love that place. I got chinchillas down there. They had rabbits down there for Easter time. They got all kinds of great exotic pets. They got Cayman crocodiles, really cool things. Check them out. They've been in business for 50 years. And of course, they also have a wonderful place called Sasquatch Toys and Comics. If it's in the box, unopened, 60s, 70s, 80s, comics, you name it, that place is just on fire. They've got all kinds. They got like $6,000 and $7,000 comic books down there at that place. It's unbelievable. Check out Sasquatch. Would you spend $6,000 on a something or other? On a,
if I had the money to, absolutely. But I wanted
to ask you real quick. We're running late, but it's my radio station, so I could do whatever the hell I want. Did you see the Billy Joel special on Sunday night?
Is this the one where he broke like some kind of record?
It was a 100th show. It was a 100th show he played at Madison Square Garden, and it was a 100th consecutive sellout. I didn't realize this. He has a residency at the Madison Square Garden. He plays a concert there once a month, and he's been doing it for 2 years. He was only going to do it for like 6 months, but every show kept selling out. And so he had his 100th anniversary show, and it was live. And so I watched it. I love Billy Joel. But he's not top 10 for me. He's not a top 10 artist for me. He's not. But he's 70, he'll turn 75 May 9th. The guy was nailing every single note. I could not believe how great this guy, his band was so stinking tight. It was so good. And it was so good that it made me want to go to Madison Square Garden to see one of his shows. And obviously I got on there, he's playing again coming up next Friday. He's playing a show once a month. And I'm thinking to myself, this would be a great opportunity. I've always wanted to go to MSG. I've never been. Have you been Madison Square Garden?
I've seen Fish in Madison Square Garden.
I figured you had.
I think five times. Okay. And Fish played 13 nights at Madison Square Garden in 2019. 13 nights over the span of 3 weeks. 13 shows, zero repeats in songs. Zero.
Wow.
Zero repeats. But let me say this about Billy Joel.
No, wait a minute. They did 13 shows without playing the same song twice?
13 shows, zero repeats. It's called the Baker's Dozen. Every show is unbelievable.
That's incredible.
Look it up. They gave out every show was a donut theme.
Yeah.
They had this donut place in Philadelphia bring up donuts for every show. So the show that the Baker's Dozen that I went to was called Jimmy Night. And I guess in the Northeast, sprinkles are called Jimmies. Uh-huh. Jimmies are called sprinkles.
Yeah.
So if you got there, I think the first like 10,000, everyone got a donut. And a lot of the songs were themed for that donut night. They called it the Baker's Dozen.
That's great.
But let me say this about Billy Joel. The Stranger, that, in my opinion, I don't know whatever number of albums you want to throw at, but The Stranger is front to back a fantastic album. I think one of the greatest albums, The Stranger.
I would agree with you. And he played, it's interesting because, when you're talking 74, 75 years age, you don't think they're going to play any of their songs that were considered novelty songs, I guess, like An Innocent Man. An Innocent Man's not what wasn't one of his big hits. If I think of Billy Joel songs, I don't think of An Innocent Man, but he played that. And I was kind of like, wow, that's really interesting that he played an off cut, like if you see Elton John, you're expecting to hear your song or Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. You're not expecting to hear Mama Can't Buy Me Love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not expecting to hear anything off Tumbleweed Connection,
Exactly.
One of the greatest albums of all time.
Yeah. You're not going to hear a bunch of off cuts because by this time you're just playing the greatest hits. And he's doing a show every month. So I'm assuming he's mixing up a little bit. By the way, Sting came out and sang a song with him. Jerry Seinfeld was there. But he said Bruce Springsteen, John Mellencamp has come out. The Pointer Sisters, it's New York. So on any given night, you never knew who the hell was going to show up. But I'm just telling you, after seeing that, I just became a huge Billy Joel fan again. It was just bizarre for me because I don't even know why I wanted to watch it. I knew it was going to be a live show, and I thought it'd be kind of interesting to see how they were going to go about, because how are you going to break up a concert, particularly Billy Joel, who's been known as kind of a cantankerous rock and roller? How is he going to deal with having to stop during a live show? Okay, you got 6 minutes to wait until the next commercial break kind of thing. I didn't know how he was going to pull it off, but it was fantastic, man. And I mean, he played the piano. I mean, it was as good as I've ever seen him play. It was amazing. It was just incredible. It was great.
If you got I would have loved to have been in there during the commercial breaks, because you know he's doing something.
Yeah.
He's playing a song or he's rapping
with
the crowd.
Worst part of the show. So it was supposed to end at 10 o'clock for the local news. So he hadn't played some of his big hits. So like at 10:10, he's playing My Life. And then he goes into another song. He goes into Big Shot. And now it's like 10:20. And I'm thinking, this is cool because this is live, right? And I know that the local TV CBS is CBS 42. They're probably like, what the heck? So about 10:25, he's going into Piano Man. And I'm assuming that's the last song that he's going to play. Halfway through Piano Man, they cut him off.
And they went
to the local flipping weather. I was like, I almost called CBS 42 and I said, you guys are so stinking uncool. It was like, yeah. It was like 9-9 in the bottom of the ninth and you on two outs and you're going to your weather. I could not believe it. I almost called the station and said, listen, we already know TV stations ain't cool. You know, I do stuff on Fox 6 and ABC 3340. They're super cool because they actually like Tone the Bone being on their TV. But that was the because a lot of people would go to a Billy Joel concert just to hear Piano Man. He gets 2 minutes into the Piano Man and they cut him off at 10:30. I could not believe that they chopped him off in the middle of his biggest song.
Can't give Billy Joel the hook during Piano Man.
It was terrible. All right, brought to you by Ed's Pet World, 50 years in the business, of course, and also Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate you. We'll catch up next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.